Are in our Advent series, Gifts of Christmas, and as I mentioned to the kids today, we are talking about hope and the hope that we have in Jesus. And as I was thinking about hope, I was reminded of a project this one time that we were hopeful for. And this was when we were living out here in the parsonage. See, when we moved into the parsonage, after Pastor Gerald had lived there, Pastor Gerald had a green thumb, and he had this beautiful garden, and he was an exceptional gardener, and so we inherited this garden, and it was a little bit overwhelming, but I thought if I could have a rototiller to help with the weeding, because I couldn't keep up on the weeding. I don't know how some of you do it, but, and so my dad had an old rototiller, and I remember this rototiller from my childhood, and so I reached out to my dad, and he's like, we got it, and we were hopeful that this rototiller would be able to get repaired and do this. And so it was in need of some work. And so I reached out to my father-in-law, who is a mechanical wizard. And he took it and took it down to his shop in Albany, and he fixed it up, and he brought it back. And oh my goodness, it looked brand new. I mean, it was, you know, the chrome stuff was shiny, the painted stuff was freshly painted, and I mean, it looked like it just rolled off the manufacturer's lot. And so he's showing it to me. He said, now, you got to understand, it looks nice, but the mechanics of it were pretty shot, but I was able to get it to operate, but only in reverse. He's like, I mean, I could have, but the amount of money that would have gone into it, you know, you could just buy a new rototiller, right? And so he's like, but it'll run in reverse. And that was the day that I realized there's a difference between the words refurbish and restoration, and to restore something. So, he refurbished the rototiller. To refurbish something is to, you clean it up, you make it look nice. You might even use it for a different purpose in maybe a decorative thing or something like that. You have refurbished it. But to restore something, to truly restore something, is to bring it back to the manufacturer's specs, to original operating, you know, protocols or abilities in that. And I got to think about that, and it's like, you know, God is not about refurbishing, but God is about restoring. He's not about refurbishing, he's about restoring. And it is in the restoration plan, the restoration that God is doing in our lives, that is where hope lies. So as we look at Luke 1 and the beginning of the Advent story, the story of Jesus' birth, we're going to be talking about that, the hope that we have in God's restoration plan. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this hope, Lord, that you are a God who truly seeks to restore what is broken in us. And God, that in this, that you, in your restoration plan, you have worked this through your Son, Jesus. And as we think about his coming and the impact of that, Lord, that you would build the hope in us as we trust in your restoration plan in our lives. And we thank you for it. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as we think about hope in this chapter, and Fred read for us Mary's Magnificat, which is a key piece in it, but we're going to look at a larger section of Scripture, actually starting all the way back in verse 26. So we're going to begin with seeing the hope from God's already present activity as we get into the story here. The hope from God's already present activity. So beginning at verse 26, and this is a lengthy section. We'll have it on the screen. You are welcome to follow along in your Bibles as well. Use those pew Bibles if you want. If you're here today and you don't have a Bible, take the pew Bible with you. We would love for you to have a Bible. We also have it on the screen as well. So, Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Nazareth, a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary asked the angel, "How can this be? I have not had sexual relations with a man." And the angel replied to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." "See, I am the Lord's servant," said Mary. "May it happen to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. As I was looking at this passage once again, it just jumped off the page at me, the opening words of this. In the sixth month. In the sixth month. The sixth month of what? Now, if you had begun reading at the very beginning of Luke chapter 1, you would know that it is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And so we meet Mary and her story and her learning about her role as the mother of Jesus in the midst of an already continuing story, that of Elizabeth and the pregnancy that she has. And it reminds me of an important thing that sometimes we often forget. And that's that God is already at work in his world when the story begins here. When your story began, God was already at work. When we are asking God and praying, "God, would you do something? God," and we've got prayer requests and we've got things that we're burdened with. We have to remember, it's not that God isn't doing anything. God is already at work in the world. And so when we are asking God and thinking about that, being reminded that he is already present, he is already at work, and he already knows what is needed in that. See, the story of Jesus, it is a story of restoration, but it's a story that doesn't just start here in Luke. It doesn't just start in the New Testament, but it starts at the very beginning. And when we turn to the very beginning, we see where it describes what we are being restored to. So if we look at the beginning of the story, we go back to Genesis. Genesis in chapter 1, at the end of the chapter in verse 31. We read there where it says, "God saw all that he had made, and it was good indeed." It was very good indeed. Now that is where the story begins, with God's good creation. Life was right and good with God in that. But the good was ruined by sin, by the choices that Adam and Eve made, the choices that we inherit from them. And that good is ruined by the sin. But in that, God announced to Adam and Eve his restoration plan. If you look at Genesis 3:15, as God is communicating his judgments to Adam and to Eve and to the serpent, to the enemy in that, he says this. He says, I will put hostility between you and the woman. These are his words to the serpent, to the enemy. Between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring, he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. This was the plan from the beginning, that one born of woman would defeat the enemy. The restoration plan is announced there. Now, Mary, as she receives this message that we just read, she realizes now the role that she is going to play in that restoration plan. It's not a new plan. It's not something different. But now she finds out that, oh, okay. Now God is doing this. Now this is what is the role that I am going to be playing in that. So when we think about hope, we can be reminded that God is already at work. It's not just a hope that maybe God might do something, but our hope is rooted in a God who is already working in us and in his creation. Second source of hope in this story is hope from God's encouragement through others. The encouragement that God brings through others in Mary's life and in our lives. We pick up the story here in verse 39. It says, in those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me. And blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. How was Mary going to explain this? I got to thinking about this, and it's like trying to imagine the situation that Mary is in. She has had this angel has come and announced what is going to happen, and in that announcement, there's this news about Elizabeth's pregnancy, and so she goes to her relative Elizabeth, but how is she going to bring this up? What is she going to say in this? Would anybody believe what she has to say? I mean, sure, Elizabeth has an unexpected pregnancy late in life, one that everybody thought wouldn't have children, now is pregnant, but Mary's unexpected pregnancy is a little bit bigger news here. So I imagine that Mary may have been struggling a bit. And in fact, she may not have known yet that she was with child. The angel didn't say the timeline. The angel just said, this is what God is going to do. This is what's going to happen. So if she went right away, she may or may not know yet in it. So how better to encourage Mary in this process? With everything that she is, I mean, her mind has got to be swirling a little bit, the thoughts in this. How better to encourage Mary in this process and deepen her hope in God's restoration plan than to send her these words of encouragement through a trusted friend? See, at times we struggle to feel what we know is true. There are things that we know. We know things are true. We know the things that God's word tells us is true. But there are times where we can struggle to feel it, to be settled in it. And we can have doubts and fears. And one of the ways that God ministers to us in those moments, in those times, is through the words of others that God puts in our lives. words of encouragement, words of hope from others. And I think Elizabeth fills that role here for Mary. Mary doesn't even have to get the words out, and the encouragement is there. The praising God is there, right? And so we see how God ministers to Mary through Elizabeth. Who are the people that God ministers through to you when you are struggling, when you need a word of encouragement, right? Think of those times, those moments where that word has come from somebody that just built you up. It strengthened your hope. Maybe you were struggling a little bit, and God put just the right person in your life at that time. It's one of the things that He does for us. And so the hope that we have from the encouragement that God gives us from others. And then thirdly, we have the hope from God's faithfulness to His promises. The hope from God's faithfulness to His promises. Verse 46, we pick it up there in 46. It says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He has looked with favor on the humble condition of His servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and His name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear Him. He has done a mighty deed with His arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering His mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever. Just as He spoke to our ancestors, and Mary stayed with her about 3 months, and then she returned home." You know, God has a history of using unexpected people to accomplish His restoration plan. When you read through the Bible and you read the stories of how God worked again and again and again, we see that God chooses to work through the most unexpected people. And Mary knew this, and she recognized that God is at it again. Because she's like, who am I, this humble servant that I am, that God would pick me from a nowhere town in Galilee to do this? And she realizes once again that God is working through unexpected people, choosing to work through her. And she recognizes that all God is doing is He is being faithful to His promises. Faithful to His promises. Now, what were the promises that come to mind for her? It was the promises that God had made to Abraham. And again, we go back to the book of Genesis, back in the beginning, because it's all the same story here. And in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 to 3, says this. God speaking to Abraham, He says, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. See, all that the Lord had promised to Abraham in that section there from Genesis 12 had come true, except for that very last piece. That very last piece, all the peoples on earth being blessed through you. That last piece was understood that Abraham's offspring would be the one who would bring blessing to everyone. The one who was the promised one born of a woman. The one that first was announced in Genesis 3. And now we understand from Genesis 12 that, okay, God's restoration plan that he was going to do in that way, now we know that that one is coming through Abraham, referring to the coming Messiah, the one promised to Adam and Eve. And Mary is reminded of this promise from Genesis 12. And she's reminded of God's mercy to Abraham and the promises, and she is praising God because she knows this, that God is faithful to his promises. So what are you hoping for this Advent season? Are you hoping for refurbishment? Or are you hoping for restoration? See, hope for refurbishment is thinking that, well, maybe you can get your act together enough that when people look at you on the outside with a fresh coat of paint, that they would think that you belong at the table. That they think that you are something in that. But when it comes to hoping for refurbishment, the best we can hope for is to be a backwards operating rototiller. But hope for restoration, that is recognizing that God is already at work in you to restore you back to the original version that God had started with in the garden when he said, it is all good. It is a hope that sees God at work in us, not because we have earned it, but because he is the one who is faithful to his promises. And our seat at the table here, we're going to be coming around the Lord's table. Our seat at the table is secure, again, not because we've earned it, but because he is restoring us to our status as children of God. And the children are invited around the table. Father God, we thank you for your goodness and grace to us, Lord. And as we come around the table to celebrate you, God, to give you thanks and praise for all that you have done in sending Jesus. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us in this time as we receive from you and as we declare your goodness in it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.